FICON is a global consultancy for the life sciences. We are committed to launching pharmaceutical products that make a difference in people's lives. Our vision is to use economics for the good of humanity. In this series of podcasts, we talk to patient advocates and thought leaders to better understand the patient perspective. Our hope is that a more comprehensive understanding of that patient perspective will help to optimize drug development, expenditures, and care into the future.
This is the FICON podcast, where we talk to patient advocacy leaders and thought experts on a particular disease to understand the burden, unmet needs, patient journey, and potential future developments for diseases that may not currently have the voice they need. Today, we introduce a patient advocate who will speak about acanthamoeba keratitis.
No.
Juliet, how do you pronounce that? Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's acanthamoeba keratitis.
Amazing. And could you just give a brief introduction of yourself?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. My name is Juliet Villa-Sinclair-Spence. I have an international background in project management, in marketing and communication. I am the founder of the Acanthamoeba Keratitis Eye Foundation, as well as the Facebook AK support group targeted worldwide. After contracting AK in 2016 and experiencing the pain, the lack of information, protocols for diagnosis and treatment, pain management and support I experienced, I've become a very passionate patient advocate, as contact lens users should be educated about contact lenses and water don't mix. Eye professionals should stop puzzling with our eyes and understand the impact of AK and pain associated with this disease.
Amazing. Thank you very much for that. And it's great that we can shorten it to AK for
Perfect.
For listeners to get an overview of the disease, how would you best define the clinical manifestations of AK?
Well, as you say, acanthamoeba keratitis, also known as AK, it's a rare disease, but lately becoming common. It's a devastating eye infection that affects the cornea, the transparent window of the eye. Some people have it unilateral, which is in one eye. Other has it bilateral, which is in both eyes. Some have ASK, which is acanthamoeba keratitis, which is a rare and painful complication of AK, affecting 10 to 18% of patients. It can lead to severe vision loss, cornea transplantation, and even enucleation, meaning having to take your eye out, estimated for 5 to 10% of patients. In extreme cases, the acanthamoeba can cause a systematic infection beyond the eye, even going into the brain. AK is caused by a free-living amoeba that is typically found in soil and bodies of water, for example, lakes, ponds, and oceans. And that includes tap water, which is important to know. So showering, bathing, swimming in pools, bathtubs, and even rinsing contact lens or cases with bathroom or kitchen tap water, among others, can put you at risk. It's important to know that the symptoms of AK can differ per person and can go from mild to extreme. For most AK warriors, that's how we refer to the AK patients, these following symptoms are common. Foreign body sensation, feeling like something is in your eye, like an eyelash or sand. Inability to wear a contact lens. Irritation of glittiness. Red eye. Watery eyes. Mild to extreme light sensitivity, also called photophobia, aching to excruciating eye pain, blurred vision, partial or total vision loss, and headaches. Some may have more than one symptom. So as we always recommend, if you are a contact lens user and have been in contact with water and your eye is feeling different, take your contact lenses out and get your eye checked by an eye professional as soon as possible. And don't forget to tell them that you are a contact lens user and have been in contact with water. If available, advocate for an early confocal scan.
I mean, that's super interesting to learn that even tap water can be are where you can gain these amoeba.
That is the thing that what we miss is people are being told about the do's and don'ts on contact lens, and they don't explain in details what do they mean with no water. As many people buy contact lenses, let's say, for swimming. So it's really important, and also under the shower.
And in terms of the population affected by this disorder, how would you best summarize that?
AK is most often currently in healthy contact lens users, but there have been cases of non-contact lens users. Honestly, no one really knows how many AKs worldwide there are. And that would be one of the dreams as an advocate and founder of the foundation. But for what we have seen in the support group and professionals who attended the Cornea Worldwide Congress this year in Chicago, is that AK is increasingly and should be recognized as a severe sight-threatening ocular infection worldwide. As Professor John Dodd from Moorfields recently mentioned, we are talking about 1 in 20,000 contact lens users per year in the UK, which is also for the Netherlands from a study in 2016. And so with an estimated of 140 million contact lens users across the globe, we are talking about more than 7,000 new patients becoming infected each year with this rare eye disease.
That's a large number, much larger than I was anticipating. And also the fact that you can't really identify the full population is, as I'm sure we'll get to, probably due to the misdiagnosis, right?
Yeah. And yeah, you might see, well, we do see 7,000. It's a lot. But for the medical world, because it's only 7,000, sometimes it's not worth studying.
So the average AK patient, what do they look like and how are they identified? We've already slightly touched on misdiagnosis, but what do they look like as a patient?
Each AK warrior has their own journey. For some might start light, for others is extreme as from the beginning. From a clinical perspective, there are key characteristic signs. Symptoms like intense pain out of proportion to clinical signs. Sometimes you will see the eyes not that red or extreme, but the pain can be already high. Extreme photophobia. No improvement with standard antiviral, antibacterial or antifungal therapies. It can present as a ring-shaped stromal infiltrated in later disease. Regarding confirming the diagnosis, what we have seen is that there's no standard approach and all depends on the clinician and what is available. Culture, which for many have come negative while it was positive. PCR, cornea biopsy, very painful procedure, and after it. In vivo cornea confocal microscope imaging, or how we call it, confocal scanner, which we call the golden tool, as it can provide an immediately answer on whether the atrophocyte cells and not, and on what level. Of course, it's not only having the machine, but a highly professional, experienced clinician that can read the images. When it comes to misdiagnosis, sadly, what we're seeing with the AK warriors community worldwide is that 80% of them are being misdiagnosed between bacterial, viral, fungal, and from that, more than 50% were diagnosed with herpes simplex, meaning corticoids are given, making the situation worse.
Yeah, and I can imagine for an amoeba receiving corticoids, that's almost like fuel for them, right? So it only gets worse?
Yeah, completely. There's still studies going around it, but it's becoming more known that if you get corticoids as from the beginning without being diagnosed AK, the cortisol, the eye will go quiet for many. The trophocyte will go into cyst. I will later explain the difference between the trophocyte and the cyst. And so one feels it's doing better, but the moment you stop with the corticoids or even during the corticosteroids, it might even get worse because then the cyst opens again into trophocytes and the attack, as we call it, is even worse and aggressive.
And then in terms of how does the disorder impact the human physiology, what is the pathogenesis of the disorder, as you can best summarize?
As I said earlier, it's important to understand that acantamoeba has a life cycle of two modes. The active mode, as we call it, which is a trophozoite stage, is when the parasite feeds, grows, and replicates itself. In this stage is when you might experience a lot of pain, light sensitivity, and sometimes decrease of vision. And normally in this stage is when the AK treatments are the ones that need to be used, because then is the moment to attack the parasite. Then you have the passive mode, which is the cyst stage, is when it's dormant, does not show much activity. In other words, they go into hibernation, forms a protective wall to protect itself, being able to survive for long periods of time. And unfortunately, one cannot predict when they will become active. Having said so, this is an example of what happened to me. I got an infection and we don't know how or why they went in cyst mode within short time. And after 6 months, they woke up and then they did the real damage in my eyes. In regard to the pathogenesis, the way the acantamoeba works is using small cuts or abrasions in the cornea to invade the eye, probably due to wearing contact lenses or trauma to the eye, by taking advantage of that while using the bacteria on the eye as food. In regard to the pathology, with AK, there is a lot of damage to the cornea, as literally is being eaten by the parasite. And it can migrate deep into the corneal tissue, making it more difficult to treat, especially if it insists, like in my case. You have no energy, your eye can't stop tearing, your sinus, head, and your hearts. Your body is trying to fight the infection, the inflammation, coping from the excruciating pain, the deprivation of sleep, and your mind spinning. We go in a dark room, depressed, isolating from the world, feeling we will never make it out of it, or we are missing so many experiences. And many of us end up with PTSD, afraid of a relapse, water, traumatized by the intensity of the treatments and procedures. And for many, there is the aftermath, like glaucoma, dry eyes, depth perception, not being able to drive in the night, trigeminal nerve pain, among others.
That sounds horrific. And when we kind of want to characterize a disease in health economics, which is what we do, characterizing this, not just how the patient feels during having their disease, but also afterwards, the aftermath, this PTSD, the not wanting to go back in water again, how to kind of quantify this, these experiences and things you miss out on is very tricky. So it's great to hear some of the things that happen to patients after they get treated.
Yeah, not easy, but it's a reality.
So in terms of treatments that are currently available for AK, what are the kind of standard procedures? Obviously, if you get misdiagnosed, I'm sure you get the wrong treatment. Is there any right treatment that doctors can prescribe?
Actually, as there is no standardized protocol treatment, currently people are being treated with off-label and unlicensed treatments, being antiseptic drugs, including PHMB, chlorhexidine, propamindine, isotretinoin, or examidine, which are all have an anti-amoebic effect, but they are not for AK officially. Also, they are using bodiconazole, which is an antifungal, and maltefosina to help fight AK, amongst other medication. So it's really a puzzle, a game of try and fail. And that is without a therapeutic corneal transplant to debulk the eye from the parasite, and it's up to the eye professional to determine which is the right approach. And what we see is sometimes the professionals stick to their own opinion while they're not listening to what the AK warrior is experiencing. An example, you can have 5 different approaches in the same city. The duration of the therapy may last from 6 months to several years, depending on each case. Once AK is eradicated, which can never be confirmed 100%, for many, a cornea transplant is what they need to restore the vision they lost. Nowadays, SIFI has developed the first official licensed therapy, which contains high concentration of PHB, given in monotherapy and with a standard protocol. We know that they are busy in getting the official approvals via the EMA and starting the process with FDA. Having said so, due to the urgency of having the right treatment for this rare disease, and that time is of essence, there is a compassionate use program available in some countries, and it's up to the doctor to request access to the product if there is a need for a patient.
It's great that there's something on the horizon. How many doctors do we think are, you know, able to clearly diagnose and therefore recommend this treatment, do you think, in Europe?
You're talking about the treatment in the horizon?
Yeah.
It's not about the doctors. It's about, right now, it's about the AK warriors asking the doctors to request it. So what we see in the support group is we are educating the AK warriors to advocate for themselves and talk to the doctors and tell them what is available there, what other AK warriors have done or the doctors have applied to them. Mm-hmm. And I don't have it in my head, but there are a few countries that this compassionate program is already available. But I would say if you listen to this, you're a doctor and you believe you can help an AK warrior, just contact SIFI to see if they can provide it to you. Always trying is best than not doing anything.
So now we'll move on to the burden of the disease. We want to kind of understand from your opinion, what is the burden, quality of life burden, clinical and economic. If you could just kind of give us an overview, that'd be really great. I'm sure we spoke about some of these points already, but just to summarize them.
Yeah. First thing it's important is AK is not just an eye infection. It's much more than that. And it's important that the community and the professionals understand that. Because what we see is many people say, oh, you just have an eye infection, just deal with it. It will be over in a couple of weeks, or you're exaggerating. That pain is not real. So really, AK should be seen as a very aggressive, painful disease. In regard to the quality of life, when you go through AK, it's not only you. And if I go emotional, I say sorry in advance. It has an impact in your surroundings, in your family, friends and coworkers. Sorry. You're hiding in a dark room as you can't handle any sort of light. And the pain is excruciating. You're having to put drops every hour nonstop for minimum 3 days so you don't sleep. And they are burning. You isolate yourself as your life is paused and you don't know when you will be able to go back to your normal life. You have no strength, no focus to carry any activity. Even just the simple task of being with your kids, it's exhausting and excruciating. You feel as a failure, as you can't do what you used to do. You need to depend on others 100%, and that is not easy. Your partner, in my case, needs to take time off to take care of the kids and you, to take you to your medical appointments, and for others, it might be their parents and friends. Your mind takes you down the rabbit hole, and it's difficult to get out of it. And when you see yourself in the mirror and you don't like what you see. And finally, always on guard, afraid of water and that there might be a relapse. on our clinical burden, as a rare disease, sadly, is not on the radar of eye professionals, so lots of misdiagnosed and mistreatments. Not only do we need to fight AK as an individual, but we also need to fight the medical world, as you need to find the right professional that knows about AK and understands the journey. Not understanding the level of pain we experience, a pain of having a parasite in your cornea, damaging the end of your nerves, trigeminal nerve pain, an eye drop that is so toxic that is burning your eye and thinning your cornea. We are in so much pain that we want to literally pull our eye with a fork. And many want sometimes to end their lives. Apart from that, it's being able to have access to the medicines that you are being prescribed. For some outside UK, it's up to the patient to make sure that they find the medicine, so they need to import it, which means taking time and jeopardizing the treatment. If they don't have the experience, they should refer them to a physician who has treated AK before. Time, pain, and clinical outcomes are never on the patient's side. And about the economic burden, the economic impact has to be seen from different points of view, between not being able to work, which can go from weeks, months, to years, depending on your journey, the frequent doctor's appointment, the treatments being medicines or procedures, and the travel. That is a lot. I am in the Netherlands, so I was grateful that my health insurance system did cover most of the costs. But for many, it comes from their own pocket, as insurance does not recognize the disease, meaning having to pay for crucial eye drops that are needed to fight infection. Or because you're not working, then you don't have health insurance. And mainly we're talking about US and South American countries.
Thank you for that. And I really appreciate you telling your own story. These patient perspective podcasts, where patients often, the advocates often have had the disease themselves, it's really, really amazing to hear your story and coming out the other side of it and what you're doing in the disease. So thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to do it.
Yeah. And as you said, in these countries where, you know, health care is maybe something that they can expect, like in the Netherlands, or you have the NHS in the UK.
Yeah.
This is reasonable. You can sometimes get most of your things kind of on the health insurance system. But as you said, these countries like South America, the US, other kind of maybe less affluent countries, it's not so easy, let alone getting the diagnosis, but also getting any of the drops or anything paid for, especially if we imagine a new treatment comes out. I wonder what the price will be and how available it will be for these patients.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, we are happy that there's something in the future that for future AK warriors that maybe will make the journey easier to treat their eye. And we hope from an advocate point of view that is going to be available for them for free, or let's put it this way, at a reality cost for them. And to share something with you, there was an AK warrior in the support group who was bilateral AK, both eyes, and he was blind due to it for more than a year because they were treating it in a different city than he is based, and through an infectious disease, because that's we also what we see, that sometimes infectious disease take over and can add more value than an eye professional. He needed a cornea transplant. When they called insurance to ask for it, they said, well, we're not covering because you're based in another city, the doctor. So that was also powerless. And there was another one who had AK in one eye. And when he was asked to get the okay to have a cornea transplant to restore his vision, the health insurance person said to him, well, don't worry, you have the other eye to use, so no need to have a cornea transplant. And that makes me so angry. In some ways, I wish I could have something to let others experience what we go through, and then I believe things will change quicker.
It's tricky with the rare disease because, as you said, there's only so many patients and even less who are advocating.
Yeah.
So they're getting this educational piece out about how horrible and burdensome the disease is. Doing these talks and similar things, just getting the word out there is so important. So thanks again for helping us help you do this. So if we look at the unmet need in the disease, maybe if we look at the educational piece, as we just said, prevention and everything in between, what are the kind of key unmet needs in your opinion?
From an AK warrior perspective, with the leave, there are several. One, prevention, absolutely. Educating contact lens users about the danger of water and contact lens can help prevent it. Second would be a care package, having a standard protocol to treat AK, as well as pain management and psychological support, where the patient is supported in all ways and not having to fight for what they need. Third one would be education. Educate clinicians and healthcare professionals about what is AK and on a different levels. It would be how to diagnose it. Have a confocal scanner as a standardized protocol method to diagnose AK. Make it a norm to always consider AK in all contact lens wearers. And in any case of cornea trauma with exposure to soil or contaminated water. If you're not experienced with AK or there's no improvement with initial treatment, refer to someone as it's time of essence. And most important, explain them that your priority right now is to treat the infection, eradicate the parasite, and that later you will focus on the vision, because what we see is patients are not told this, and of course, most of the patients have decrease of vision or lose the vision because of the parasite, and it's completely panic mode. So we try to remind them that they first need to eradicate the parasite to be able to then help restore the vision. Also, educate on how to treat. Have an official standard protocol to treat AK. Target the trophocyte stage and the cyst stage. Make it non-toxic and available for the patient at hand the moment they are diagnosed. Temper down the drop slowly and keep an eye on how the eye is responding, as a potential relapse is the main worry of the AK warrior. Also keep in mind that each case is unique. What for one patient might work for another one might not. Also, how to manage pain. They should have a standard protocol for pain management. Refer to a pain specialist as from the first day of diagnosis. Normal over-the-counter painkillers does not work, and we also need nerve blockers added to them. And last, on the educational point of view, is educate on how to support emotionally. Refer to a mental counselor as from the beginning of the treatment, as well as the Facebook support group. Let them know they are not alone in this journey. And last, which is very important, is on meet need, is worldwide reporting system. We need a system to help us track all the cases of AK by numbers, geographical location, suspected infection from gender, age. This will help us identify trends to then educate these groups and at-risk population.
Yeah, amazing. Thank you for that. Typically, when we speak to different patient advocacy groups from all kinds of rare diseases, often the thing that comes up is education. As always, education clinicians, education the patients who might have it, so they can ask clinicians the questions that they need to get to the right answer and the right drug, and yeah, everything in between. It's not just the clinicians that need to know, it's also the patients that have it, and even when they have it, knowing what to ask for and everything like this.
Yeah, that's why for us the support group is very important, because when they come in, a part of being afraid and lost and not knowing what to expect, they don't know if they're having the right treatment or what to ask, because what we've seen is, sadly, there are many, not all of them, but there are some doctors that, because they are a professor on a high level, he's right and nobody else can be wrong. So AK wearers need to advocate for themselves. And yeah, in the support group, that's what we're doing, educating them on how to advocate for themselves, but keeping it into a private setting.
That's great that you're doing that already. And I think hopefully that, as long as you continue that, that will really push patients forward into knowing exactly what to do across market, across countries, be yeah, like a standardized process, basically. So we've already touched on the available medicines and ones in development. Now just talking about the patient advocacy group themselves. So how can future drug development and supply chain incorporate patient advocacy groups moving forward to benefit the future of patient treatment options?
Patient advocacy is very important, as is us who are going through this rare disease. We are not just a number. We are people suffering this excruciating, debilitating eye rare disease. So it's us who can explain better what we're feeling, needing, and what is not working, as well as how to prevent it. It's time to give the patient the voice and power and not leave the last word on the medical professionals. Let us, as patient advocates, work together with drug development, supply chain, contact lens manufacturers, and medical professionals to define the best possible approach when it comes to diagnose, treatment, care, and education to prevent the journey. Finally, we believe that prevention is always better than trying to cure the disease. Awareness and better understanding of disease caused by contact lens are needed to prevent this disease.
Yes, you're right. Unlike some other diseases where you might be born with a defect or something like this, actually AK can be prevented before, just with better education and marketing from the contact lens manufacturers.
We also need to take in consideration that 90% are contact lens users and 10% are non-contact lens users. So those who don't wear contact lenses, if they have a trauma in the eye, which they don't know, they cannot prevent it. But sometimes it's, I go like in panic mode when someone say, oh, I got something in my eye, like a little stone, and I just wash my eye with water. I go, oh my God, no. And I say, why does not companies and people carry, you know, like saline to clean your eye if there's something in your eye? But that is because for what we experience, normal people won't know about it. Use your contact lenses, do the do and don'ts, get your eyes checked, but remember contact lens and water don't mix. That's the main thing. So maybe we are seeing from the contact lens manufacturer or someone that we're trying to decrease the sales. We're not trying to stop people from using contact lens. We're trying to educate them. So as we say, happy journey, happy eyes. I mean, that's what we want, happy eyes.
It makes sense. It does make sense. It's such a simple education, and it seems like everyone should know this sort of stuff, but they just don't. Thank you very much for joining us today. Very interesting conversation on AK, and look forward to seeing what the future is in this area. Thank you very much, Juliet, for your time. From everyone at FICON, we would like to thank you, and listeners, thank you for listening. Look forward to the next one. Thanks, Juliet.
Thank you.